Adjust one of the phones to not cut my head off, even though some people might say that would be the best look that I could have if you was to cut my head off. Hopefully my wife wouldn't be one of those that said that, since she's here with me. We're going to look tonight, with this being Palm Sunday, the sermon I've got titled The Triumphal Entry, a look at Palm Sunday. Boy, it took me a lot of thought to get that original title. That's something I need to work on. Coming as many podcasts and web page posts and everything, it's hard to come up with good headlines on a regular basis. So Let's start tonight with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the day that you've given us. I thank you for the beautiful sunshine and the warmer weather today. Thank you for keeping people safe last night here where I'm at in the snow and the slick roads. And Father, as we come just now to you, I pray that everything that I would say in this sermon would be what you would want said. Nothing from me, but all from you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Since we've got a different audience or an additional audience tonight, I wanted to say that you can find all of the things that we do at edboston.com. It's got all of our social media. It's got our podcasts. It's got our videos. All have links there on the front page, and we would love to have you be a part of what we do. Like us and tweet us and all of the different things you can do. Subscribe to us on Facebook and, just become a part of what we do. One time, a long time ago, this isn't a fairy tale, it sounded like the start of a fairy tale. For family devotions, Martin Luther once read the account of Abraham offering Isaac on the altar in Genesis 22. His wife Katie said, "I do not believe it. God would not have treated his son like that." Luther replied, "But Katie, he did." As we approach the Easter Holy Week here, starting off today with Palm Sunday, we realize that Jesus was the sacrifice. And much like Isaac was the sacrifice there for Abraham, that's where the similarities end, because Jesus did get put to death. But before that happened, a week before, we have the triumphal entry. And we can look in the book of Mark, chapter 11, under the heading, "Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king." And it says this: "As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are doing this, say, the Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.' They went and found the colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. And may God grant his blessings upon the reading of the word. I'm going to make 3 points in the sermon tonight, and I'll give you the points up front. I don't know if anybody takes notes or whatever, but this is a head start. Point number one is going to be the parade. Point number two is going to be the prophecy. And point number three will be the promise. And the triumphal entry, as it is called, served a much deeper purpose than simply a parade in the honor of Jesus. Think about this. This year, Easter Sunday is April the 1st. I don't remember in my lifetime. I'd have to check online to see when the last time there was a Easter Sunday on April Fool's Day, but it is this year. And many places will be doing a lot of different things. There's Good Friday services, and there's at the church we attend, there's going to be a Breakfast with the King event that is held. And so as we do these things and think about it being April Fool's Day, what we're actually celebrating, there is no joke about it. It isn't something that you share with somebody and say, oh, April Fool, because this is serious business. And that parade was a serious thing as well. It had to happen. Jesus, think about this. And I preach on this topic just about every year on Palm Sunday. I think about how Jesus must have felt, knowing how this week was going to end as he entered Jerusalem. And they're singing and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna to the highest. Knowing that in just a few days, they're going to say, crucify him. So there was a parade. He rode in. They celebrated. They cheered. Think about sports teams. And I've used this example before as well. After they win a championship and they have a parade in the city, and maybe it's a ticker tape parade, and they're throwing things from buildings, confetti or whatever that's called. And maybe it's just them riding along the streets in the convertibles or on the back of a fire truck. And people are lined up for block after block, and they're cheering because they wouldn't be there if they didn't like the team that they were there to see. And so the same way Jesus is there, and he's coming in, and people have been expecting a Savior. They've been expecting the Messiah. They've been looking forward to it. But boy, do they really change in the course of a week. If you were in a parade for a basketball team that had won the championship, a week later, you probably wouldn't be booing them and saying, fire the bums. But that's exactly what they did to Jesus. They said, crucify him. Not just fire the bums, but they said, kill him. Crucify him. Point number two, we just did the parade, is the prophecy. The coming there in the triumphal entry had been revealed clearly in the Old Testament. That's why the parade had to happen, because of the prophecy that was there. Old Testament prophecy said the method, the timing, and the meaning. And we look at Zechariah 9:9, and it says under the heading of the coming of Zion's king, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I love prophecy, and if you've watched me preach in the past, you know that Bible prophecy is so interesting, in my opinion. And hundreds upon hundreds and hundreds of years before what happened here on Palm Sunday, Zechariah wrote about it, even to the detail that he's going to come in on a donkey. And you see, that's why this had to happen in exactly the way it did, because prophecy is just words if it doesn't come true. I can make a prediction on who's going to win the NCAA basketball title now that they've got the Final Four in there. If they never played it, it would just be words. If it's my prediction and the team that I pick loses in the very next game, it's not prophecy, because it's not coming to pass. So for this prophecy to do what it is supposed to do, Jesus had to come in exactly the way that he did, on a donkey, with a parade. We look on farther, and as we said, coming on a colt, but he did that so that Israel would recognize him. And then we go into Daniel, chapter 9, 25 and 26, and it says this, know and understand this, from the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, that's Jesus, the ruler comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be put to death and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood, with war continuing until the end and desolations have been decreed. You see, death had to take place. And even though we're talking Palm Sunday here, we know that the end of the story, that Jesus has to die prior to the best part of the story, and that's the resurrection. But he had to die. And in the book of Daniel, it was predicted and it was prophesied. And then the third point is the promise. You see, this event also, the event being the triumphal entry, also fulfilled Jesus' promise from several weeks earlier. Some Pharisees came to lure him back to Judea. Jesus said he would not return until such time as the citizens of Jerusalem would say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Perhaps he intended this to further establish his credentials as the promised Messiah. Just as Zechariah in the Old Testament had prophesied, Jesus, just a few weeks earlier, said exactly what the people were going to say. If Jesus was not the person that we say he is, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, our Lord and Savior. If he was not that person, then how would he know weeks in advance exactly what the people were going to say when he came into Jerusalem? And the answer is, he is who we say he is. He is who he says he is. We look down in Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 35, and it says this. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. But I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" And I don't know about you, but that just thrills me. When prophecy comes true, that just thrills me. You know, you look at all of the prophecies, and you can do studies on the number that come from the Old Testament, and you can look at what the odds are of even just a handful of them coming true. But all of the ones that come true, it's not even possible in human terms. It's not possible. But with God, all things are possible. And so those prophecies, whether it be Old Testament and Zechariah and Daniel, or if you look in the New Testament with Jesus making the prophecy himself of where he is going to come in and how it's going to happen and what is going to, that just amazes me. He says what they're going to say. Now, I'm sure that there's somebody who might say, well, they practiced that ahead of time. I'm sure that same person would say somehow the Old Testament prophecies were just made up later. Folks, don't buy that stuff. Jesus is who he says he is. Not who he says he was, but who he says he is. Because today is the day that we look at things. Today being Palm Sunday 2018. And we know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus came. He was rejected. He had his people turn their back on him. The people that he was the closest to turned their back on him. He was crucified and buried in a tomb. But praise God, he rose again on the third day. You know, you can look at a story that I come up with from Warren Webster in a book called His. And it says, Dr. Siemens tells of a Muslim who became a Christian in Africa. Some of his friends asked him, "Why have you become a Christian?" He answered, "Well, it's like this. Suppose you were going down the road and suddenly the road forked in two directions. and you didn't know which way to go. And there at the fork in the road were two men. One was dead, one was alive. Which one would you ask which way to go? Would you ask the dead man, Muhammad, which way to go? Or would you ask the live person, Jesus, which way to go? My challenge to you is this, and tonight has mostly been a teaching lesson. You know, I haven't pounded on this, pulpit. There you go. I haven't pounded on the pulpit, and I haven't raised my voice a whole lot. And I know sometimes that disappoints Amy when I don't get fired up and going, because she kind of likes that. You know, she's one of those old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone kind of people. And there's a time and a place for that. But the teaching of this lesson tonight is so important because it shows you the anticipation. It shows you the way the people were at that point in time. So we're looking at the past, and then there it's their present, and we know what the future is. It's a wonderful, wonderful story, but it's more than just a story. It's more than just the opportunity to preach. It's the opportunity to give you the opportunity to give your life to Jesus. Because what better time? There'll be people in church next Sunday that won't go again to church until Christmas, if they even go then. And I know that there are a lot of Christians who really put those kind of people down, say, well, the only time they go to church is on Christmas and Easter. Aren't you glad they go on Christmas and Easter? Aren't you glad they go and hear about stories like this one? That they know that Jesus loved them so much that he gave his life for them? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life? Would you like to live forever? I'm not talking an earthly life, but I'm talking about eternity and live forever and ever. You know, there are people who say they can't comprehend forever, and I would be one of them. They think, well, maybe we should just live life as full as we can, irregardless of what it is that we do and the circumstances. But what if I'm accurate with my assessment? And that what we do while we're here on this earth has a bearing on all of eternity. If you take that and I'm wrong, you haven't lost anything. But if the person that tells the story the other way is wrong, they've lost eternity. Is that a risk that you want to take? Is that a risk that you're willing to take? That there is no eternity? That when you die, everything ends. I pray that you're not willing to take that risk, that you would give your life to the Lord today. If you have a question on how to do that, there's a contact page at edboston.com. I'd be so happy to talk you through things, to find a church in your area, in your neighborhood. If you live across the world, and the numbers on our podcast of places around the world that listen to what we put out has been staggering lately. The country of Egypt just keeps rocking. I'm not even going to tell you the total that I seen today because you would think I was lying. Hopefully you wouldn't think I'm lying. But I can't believe it. The number of people that are listening in Egypt. And so if you're in Egypt today or anywhere else around the world, go to edboston.com. Contact me. I can't promise on this one that I'll find somebody to help you, but I'll do the very best that I can. Or I will do the very best I can to find somebody here in the United States that would know how to help you. Because just like the Muslim in this story, when you come to that fork in the road, do you want to go where the dead prophet Muhammad is, or do you want to go where the living Savior Jesus Christ is? Thank you for being with us tonight, and let's close in prayer. Father, I pray just now that if there is anybody that is listening to my voice, whether it be live here on Palm Sunday 2018, or if it be in the future through video or archived blogs or however it would be, Father, that they would know that today is the day that they need to give their life to you if they haven't done that already. Father, I pray that they would search out somebody that could help them. And if, Father, I could do something to help this process along for them, I pray that you would have them contact me. I'm nobody special, Father. I'm just a pastor, a human being. But Father, what makes what I do special is that I do it for you. And I do it with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Me, I'm nothing without you. This podcast and this video, they're nothing without you. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to talk about you, to teach about you tonight, and to preach. Thank you for blessing my life, for blessing me with a wife, a wonderful wife, children and grandchildren. Help us, Father, to do your will on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks, for being with me again. Amy's over here, and thank you for being with her. Again, edboston.com is the best way to contact us. You can find all of our social media there, and we would love to minister to you in the way that you need ministered to. God bless, and go out and do the right thing.
Hi friend, this part of the program is designed specifically for you as an individual. Me, Pastor Ed Boston, talking with you one-on-one here as part of our podcast. The purpose of this segment is to give you the understanding and opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ, the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. We want to encourage you to ask for God's will in your life, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is God's will for you to give your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus died a harsh and cruel death on a cross as a sacrifice for our sins. In earthly ways of thinking, that is difficult to understand. But understand that God's Word tells us that He loves us so much that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Please know that God loves you, and insert your name right there. He knows you. He knows all about you. He knows your name. He knew you before you were even born. He knew you when He sent Jesus to die on the cross over 2,000 years ago. If you want to give your life to the Lord right now, I encourage you to repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins, and I invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer just now, I want to encourage you to do a few things. I want to encourage you to be active in reading your Bible. I want to encourage you to go to the Lord in prayer. And if you don't understand how to pray, just talk to God like you would talk to your father or your mother or your spouse or whoever you have a conversation with. Just have a conversation with God. I also encourage you to get with somebody in your local area that is a Bible-believing person who would help you with the next steps that need to be taken. And as part of your conversion to a Christian, that would be being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, to become active in a local congregation where you can be a part of a family, a local family, the family of God. The Bible tells us not to forsake assembling together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that can be a major part of what you do as a Christian. If you have questions and don't have anyone to talk with, you can reach me by going to edboston.com, and there is a contact page there. Contact me, and I will do what I can to help you. I will do what I can to help you find a local congregation right there where you live, and I will certainly pray for you. Thank you for being a part of our podcast. We pray that you have taken this step and given your life to the Lord, and we know that you will never have to regret making this decision. God bless, and go out and do the right thing.